first speaker. I know her really well. And Joanne S.
Good morning. I'm an addict. My name's Joanne.
Hi.
I'll start with this. I'm real nervous. But I think we all are. I want to thank the convention committee for asking me to be here. It was quite an honor and quite a surprise when I was asked to come and lead this workshop. Okay, ready? Okay. All I can do is tell you my road to recovery. We all know how I got here, why I got here. I think we all walked along the same path of self-destruction, low self-esteem. And my path was real cloudy. One of my first meetings, I heard a man standing at a pulpit with a very booming voice speak very deeply, telling me, "Change you must or die you will." And my first thought is I was back in church again as a small child. And it was there that I discovered sin and decided at 6 years old that I was a sinner and I was headed for hell. And I spent a great deal of my using years working real hard getting there. It wasn't until I came to the rooms that I realized I had been living in hell for many years. And the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous helped me to find heaven. I was real fortunate because when that man said those words to me, it scared the hell out of me. Because I had no idea what change was about. I'd been living the same way and acting the same way for so many years that change was pretty impossible for me. But I was gifted with a sponsor who gently told me, yes, there's a lot I had to change, but I only had to change one thing at a time. And the first thing that I needed to change was I had to get honest. I had to find out who I was and what I was, learn to accept it, and then find out what I wanted to be, and slowly work towards becoming that person. It wasn't hard for me to know that I was an addict. I had reached a point in my life where using was not an option. And I didn't know any other way of life. It was a daily routine for me. So the first thing I had to do was learn how to go one day at a time without using. And I was real fortunate. I went through detox and then through treatment. So the people that surrounded me for the first 90 days of my recovery wouldn't let me use. They weren't about that. And they helped me through it. When I first came here, I told everybody that I came voluntarily. I walked into the detox all on my own. Basically, my sister drove me there and dumped me. But it was the best gift she ever gave me. And she need not give me any more gifts because she continues to love me no matter what. She was having a hard time loving me at that time. Being the good addict that I was, I really thought I had my life under control. I liked living on the streets of Southeast D.C. I like having no car, no job, no home, no nothing. It didn't take long for me to find out that that's really not what I like. The people in the treatment center told me that I had self-esteem issues. And again, I was unaware of this. I had a real good counselor who handed me books and sat and talked to me about who I was at that time and who I could be. And I worked on those issues. I couldn't understand why the guys in treatment were so sleazy until I realized that I was sleazy myself. And then if I wanted to be treated, to be treated like a lady, I had to act like one. If I didn't want people cussing around me, I had to stop cussing. If I wanted to live like a decent human being, I had to become one. It's been a long road. I still cuss. I still flirt. But I don't sleep with everybody I come in contact with. And I work real hard in cussing and apologize when it's inappropriate. Change is slow for me. It's a long haul. But it's worth it. Honesty is another issue that's difficult for me because I'm, what's it called? I lie on a spur of a moment. I can't remember the term. If I'm in trouble, I'm going to tell you a lie before I'll tell you the truth. Yet I tell my children, if you tell me the truth first, the trouble won't be so bad. Deep inside, I still have a hard time believing that. Today, when I lie, I have to go back and admit that I lied, and I have to get honest. I always lie to me first, then I'll lie to you. Then I apologize to me first, and then I'll apologize to you. I'm not going to lie. I heard early that this is a selfish program. Anything I do in these rooms, I do for me first, and if I can help you, I'm grateful for that, but I'm more grateful that I've helped me too, you know. I don't know. The best way I can show that I'm a recovering addict today is I work hard not to act like a practicing addict. I have to remind myself on a regular basis that is not acceptable behavior. I do real well some days, other days I don't do well at all. And that's honest. I keep going. I have prepared for this for days. And bottom line, there's no preparation for it. All I can do is share honestly from my heart. Once I was able to be a little bit honest with myself, I was able to set goals. Again, I had help from counselors in treatment, and I had help from the people I went through treatment with. We set out goal plans. It was started with one day at a time, then a month, 6 months, a year, all the way through a five-year goal plan. And the miracle is I met every one of my goals. And it's all because I knew where I was going. I spent a lot of time wandering around, not knowing where I was, much less where I was headed. And they gave me a path to follow. Another part about getting honest is I realized that I could not live my life alone, that I needed other people's help. And the miracle was is there were plenty of people there to help me, to share my pain, to share my joy, and to tell me when I was out of line. Because I'm blind to my behavior a lot of times. I will tell myself it's okay. And a lot of times it's not. A lot of the gifts and the teachings I've learned in these rooms, I try to pass on to my children. That's where I learn the best. Because when I'm telling my kids not to lie, I can't lie to them. When I'm telling them that their behavior is inappropriate, if I'm doing it, it's inappropriate for me as well. I used to say early in recovery, my children get spanked for my behavior. They learn from the best. Today I'm teaching them differently. I hope. I'm going through the steps in my head. When I came in these rooms, I had a God of my understanding who was judgmental and cruel and who had damned me at the sweet young age of six. And in these rooms, I found a God of my understanding who was loving, forgiving, helpful, guiding. But I had to ask for his help. And another change in behavior was asking for help in prayer and sitting still long enough to listen for the answers. This is real hard for me. Sorry. My son's going on the field trip. Sitting still, right? Okay. See, my last drug of choice was cocaine, but I'm a naturally hyper person, and I can't slow down a lot of the times. I'm rushing on coffee now because I never know when to quit. But again, I had another friend in the program who told me that if I went home and I sat in my living room and I sat quietly, no TV, no stereo, no books, no nothing, and just sat there and I listened, that someday I would hear more than just the clock ticking. And it worked. So I take my time every morning. It's my slow time. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. I take 15, 20 minutes and I sit. And I just listen. And I came to discover that the birds sing first thing in the morning. And it's not just the trash truck outside my door. And I hear a message from God, my higher power. And he tells me that it's a brand new day and that there is hope. When I walked in these rooms, there was no hope. My life has changed in many ways. And through the material things, you know, it's real nice having a house, our home, and a car, and a job. I have a son back that I lost during my active addiction who lives with me now. And I learned so much from children, my kids anyway. And I've learned to listen to them. Listening was real hard for me when I first came here too, because I had all the answers. But if you'd asked me my first year, 2, 3 years clean, what it meant to have peace, serenity, happiness, joy, hope, friendship, kindness, I don't know if I could have answered very clearly. Today it's a little bit more clearer for me. I found it here as soon as I pulled into Ocean City because I knew the convention center was just 2-3 miles down the road. I love to talk, and this is one time I just really don't want to talk. I got to be honest. Another thing that was told me is I had to clean house. And honestly, my house is still real dirty. I can only handle one issue at a time, and thank God that's all I have to handle. But it was real important for me to write out in black and white how I perceive myself and who is the person that kept using and kept using and kept using. And then I had to tell somebody else about it. Because if I kept my secrets, I was going to die. 48 hours before I walked in the detox, I thought I wanted to die. And all I really wanted to do was just get away from it. I just wanted something different. Today, I don't want to die. I want my life the way it is, but I want it better. And the gift of recovery is it'll get better as long as I stick in these rooms and I do what I need to do. I wrote my 4 step. Actually, I wrote 5 of them. I finally got to share one when I was about 3 years clean. And I had a sponsor that loved me through it, and then sent me back to paper because I wasn't being honest. She knew me better than I knew myself. So I wrote some more, and I shared some more, and I wrote some more, and I shared some more. And then finally, I got to do the sixth step. And that was really where change had to come about. Because in my fourth and fifth step, I came to find out what was acceptable and what was not. I'd learned not to cuss so much. I learned that not just because some guy smiles at me, that he was in love with me and he would take care of me the rest of my life. See, I have many addictions. One of them was marriage. I've been married 4 times. This is my last marriage. And I came to discover I don't believe in divorce. And I don't have to do it. All I have to do is keep working on what's in front of me, and it'll work out. All in God's plan. But anyway, I came to, in the sixth step, I came to find out that my behaviors were not just actions, that my behaviors started up here, and that awareness was the first step to change. And when I became aware of my behaviors or my thoughts, then I had a 100% chance of being able to change it. Not make it go away. Just do it differently. I'm still nervous. Thanks. The biggest thing that I became aware of, I think, well, there's so many. But one thing that I became aware of that became very important to me is I became aware of the fact that I did not love myself. And this is at 3 years clean. I liked myself a lot better. I could look in the mirror and not be nauseous. I could stand proud and walk through a room and not be ashamed of myself. I could go to PTA meetings and not be fearful that the teacher knew what I was doing when I got home. But I didn't love myself. I didn't love myself enough to stop hurting myself. And see, I don't hurt myself just with drugs and alcohol. I hurt myself with men, by spending money that I don't have, by staying up too late, by not eating right, by not going to the doctor when I have bronchitis, by continuing to smoke cigarettes, I still do, by drinking too much coffee, and all these things. I can hurt myself in many ways. And love is a real hard thing to learn. See, I can easily love my children. I can love my mom. I can love my friends. I will take care of somebody else before I take care of me. And I still do it, but just not as bad. Example, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning to come up here. So I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night so I could get some sleep. My first convention, I drove up here on 2 hours sleep. Real dumb, but I had to get here. I'm tired, but I'm safe on the roads. That's taking care of me. It's also taking care of you. When I got here, I couldn't even brush my teeth, you know, on a daily basis. And it's the small things, you know. I bathe. I eat, you know, at least 2 meals a day. That's because I'm putting weight on. I don't like it. Oh, please. All right. When I got here, I was 92 pounds. And I thought I looked good, you know. I have this wonderful sister that took me to the detox keeps a picture of me. It was taken 1 month before I went to the detox in her living room. It's a nasty reminder. But she does it because she loves me. And she puts it away when other people are coming, she told me. The process of change is a long one, and like I said, we are blessed. I am truly grateful that there is no cure for our disease.
Yeah.
Because I have someplace to go any day of the week. I am from the metropolitan, D.C. metropolitan area. I can find a meeting any time, day or night. The phone always rings on the other side, no matter what. And what's nice is nobody hangs up on me at 3 in the morning. And I have hope, because what didn't work today just might work tomorrow. And I didn't have that before. I didn't know how to get through an hour, much less a full day. And what was sad was when I woke up in the mornings, I was sorry I was still awake. I was alive. I don't have that today. And it's about change. It really is about change. I am not the same person that walked through the doors that first day. When I smile, it's because I feel good. It's not because I don't want you to know I feel bad. When I'm grumpy, I'm grumpy. And I don't hide these things because, see, with me, if I walk around telling everybody I'm fine and I go home at night and cry, I'm in trouble. Because when I'm home crying, I'm crying alone. But when I'm in a meeting crying, I got other people there. They don't have to touch me. They don't have to hug me. They're just there. And see, I'm a real sick person up here. It's a dangerous playground. And when I end up here, I'm in danger. I'm in a bad place. So I have to tell you people where I'm at and who I am. And I'm an addict who hurts, who laughs, who cries, who does good, who does bad. I'm human. Another change. I'm human and I don't have to be perfect. Thank God. And I don't try to be anymore. I was raised by a mother who's a perfectionist. She hit 60 years old and decided she didn't like dusting anymore. And it took me 3 months to convince her it was okay, you know, and I learned that here, it's okay. I left a dirty house when I came up here today. It's okay. Because I got my sleep, you know. I got this 6 hours sleep, so the laundry will wait. It'll be there when I get back. And these are all lessons. My first year in recovery, I'd worked full-time. I had a 3-year-old boy that was my constant companion. Work, school, dinner, meeting, home. 2 a.m., I was washing clothes, doing laundry, all this stuff, because it had to get done, and it had to get done now. Today, it'll be there tomorrow. And we get our sleep, and we eat well, and we do okay. But it's not perfect. Yes? Anyway, okay, we made it through the 6 steps, 7 steps. You know, it's real hard for me to admit that that I don't know anything and that I need help and that I'm unaware. I heard, again, you know, you hear all the cliches and everything that was said to me in my first 90 days clean, I carry with me on a daily basis now. All the cliches that they beat in our heads. And everything, you know, everything that's plastered on all the walls. Somebody told me early in recovery, if somebody points out a behavior to you, you can shrug it off. But when another person points out that same behavior, you might be able to shrug it off. But when you hear it 3, 4, 5 times, you better look at it. And luckily, I have more than one friend in NA. Because if I am unaware, okay, I have a very big ego, yet I forget to look at myself. So I need other people to point it out to me. And those people range from again, my children. I have a 17-year-old son who is real good at pointing out my behavior. He was 9 when I got here, and he's grown up in these rooms. Not only does he know the NA way, he knows what it's like to live with a practicing addict, and he remembers. So he knows my addict behavior. My youngest was only a baby, so he only knows me now. But he knows what the difference between recovery and unacceptable. And then I have my friends in the program, and I have my family, and I have my coworkers who are not in the program. But they'll tell me that I can't tell the client that they're a BITCH on the phone. I have to wait until I hang up. They remind me that when I'm due at work, I'm due at work. Being on the highway does not count. And that if my job is not done, then I stay until it's done. And then I remind them that I'm a parent and I have other responsibilities and commitments. Again, early in recovery, I paid a lot of money in overtime daycare because I wanted to be responsible. I'm a parent as well as an employee, and I had to learn this. I had a real hard time balancing being an acceptable member of society because it was a lot to ask for this addict. Before I got here, I couldn't hold a job longer than 6 months. And then all of a sudden, I wanted to be employee of the week. And like I said, I lost both my children during active addiction. One was returned to me. His father's a practicing addict. By the grace of God, the courts thought I was a little bit more healthy. I wanted to be the perfect parent. I wanted to go to PTA meetings and tell the teachers how to do their jobs. Little did they know that I was just learning how to become a parent, and I'm still learning. The greatest gift I learned is my children have voices for a reason, not just to irritate me, because they carry a message. The biggest message they carry is the message of love, because my children never stop loving me, and I don't know why. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I work on a daily basis to consciously remind myself that I am a recovering addict and that requires honesty. Even if it means returning 2 cents back to the clerk at 7-Eleven because they gave me too much change. What's 2 cents? It's my recovery. I have to be open to hear and to speak. I never think I have a message to carry. The only message I can carry that I can speak honestly and from the heart is I'm grateful to be here. And if it weren't for Narcotics Anonymous, I may not be dead physically, but I was dead a long time ago. And I have to be willing to listen and do as you suggest. Because my way don't work. My thinking stinks and all those cliches. The only difference between me and the me that was practicing is I don't use drugs today. Otherwise, I'm still me. I still think like an addict. I can act like an addict. Excuse me, a practicing addict. I will always be an addict, thank God. Because I know who I am today. And I can accept it, but I don't have to act like it. Can I quit now? I get to quit. Again, I thank the committee for asking me to be here. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to stay here until Sunday, at least. I'll probably be here longer than that. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. Now I'm going to introduce our second speaker, and that would be Nate J.
Hey, fam, my name is Nate, and I'm definitely an addict.
Hi, Nate.
And that's changed for me today. Because normally my introduction is a little more different than that. But I'm learning as I keep coming back and keep coming back that it's really not important what I use to get here. Normally I introduce myself as a crackhead and a drunk, that's the gift of recovery. I am that. But it's more important for me to realize that I'm addicted to more than just that. When I was asked by one of the committee persons to share this blessed event, it kind of threw me for a second because I started wondering if it was a setup or not. You know, because I'm a real jokester at times. That's how I get through my most troubling times is I try to put a little laughter in. But for real, I just try to hide the pain that's really inside of me. And I'm jiving a little nervous. But on a daily basis, my job is to speak, you know, to people and assist people. And sometimes speaks in rooms this size. So I shouldn't be. But in those arenas, I don't have to talk about me. You know, this isn't one of those times. Today I got to talk about changing behaviors, and most importantly about me. When I ran across my sponsor, what I was going to speak on, because, you know, I got a piece of paper. I'm going to write down exactly some bullets on what I'm going to speak on. You know, where I'm going to start, where I'm going to take the breath, where I'm going to nod, find the people in the audience that I know best, focusing on that, and move right along. But he told me, basically, man, it's about changing behaviors. Tell your story. I kind of got a little offended, and then I went over what I can remember my story. Honestly, basically, I stand before you, an individual that's in a constant realm of change. I'm not one to kind of like today pick out things I need to work on, because as the speaker before me stated about step work, you know, change is inevitable. I'm doing one or two things. Either I'm going forward or I'm going backwards. I've never been a gray area type of guy. It's always been black and white for me. Since I've been clean. The gray area was my addiction. That's when I became God and I ran everything. And nothing changed. I've heard since I've been here, nothing changes, nothing changes. Y'all read about me in the opening literature. Who is an addict? Could have just said Nate. Why are we here? Because you need to be. You know what I'm saying? They talked about the steps of my life today. They talked about the traditions, me letting you have your life today. You know, and that's very important for changing my behaviors. Because see, when I got here, I don't know about y'all, but I did not come here personally to be clean. I must be honest about that. I did not come here to fill the hole in my gutter pain as I know it today. I came here because I wanted my wife back. I wanted the kids back. I wanted a nice house. I wanted everything that I thought made me a person to be returned to me because I gave it all away to you. Since I've been here, I've gotten all those things back and many more. But let me tell you, the pain did not go away. You know, those material things and those people and all that that was returned to my life helped me get through one day at a time on the outside. But it was the work that's done with God's help and you guys' help that allowed me to fill a void out. Since I've been here, you know, I'll back up a little bit. I'm a little nervous, bear with me, please. I'm a product of some of the best neighborhoods in America. If you're from the Washington, D.C. area, you know, I can throw anything and put a guard behind it or a terrorist behind it. And you know the neighborhoods I'm talking about. And I heard this comedian say that they always name those good neighborhoods after all these things, like they're growing something. But for me, they was growing a lot of fear, a lot of frustration, and a lot of pain. And I was the vessel for all of it. I'm a very small guy in frame. I'm the same height I was when I got here. I've been the same height since 1976. That was part of my problem. Young lady stayed in her weight when she got here. I'm scared. Because I got here at 127, and I'm 180 today. You know, when I got here, man, I had on a pair of size 27 waist slacks with a good pair of sweatpants inside of them. And some long johns. She talked about a picture. My dearest friend in recovery, which is my spouse today, keeps one in her wallet and keeps me real humble. Because when I look at it, it reminds me of one of those little dolls in the back of somebody's car with the little body and the big head and body. It's about change today, y'all. My body has cut up. I'm trying to keep it light because I'm nervous, y'all. But I'm also trying to let y'all know that it's funny here. And change is not hard.
That's right.
It's only hard when I try to do the change. See, if I allow God to work through people, to work in my life, for change to take place, there's no difficulty at all. That's what I learned since I've been here. I learned since I've been here, man, that I no longer have to be afraid. Because, see, I can talk about things like being molested as a child. I can talk about doing cables that I didn't want to do. I can talk about running in some places that I'm afraid to drive past today. You know, living in those places on a daily basis, but today clean, I'm afraid. Afraid. Not only because of what I left there, because I know what's waiting for me there if I do return there. I drive a very fast car today, ladies and gentlemen, because when I go through there, I'm going through there. You know, that's just for me. Because see, I not only, you know, am working on changing my behaviors today, because see, for me, change means a metamorphosis. See, I can go into Cancun and stay there, perish, or come out like a butterfly, man, and just fly on off. Well, I could be the mole. All of us good. As long as I come out of today a little different than what I went to, it's been a real good day for me. You know, it's been taught to me, man, through some cliches and through my life learned experiences since I've been this short time, that my problems aren't necessarily my problems. You know, I have a God that I understand today. They told me he wouldn't give me nothing I couldn't handle. So basically, they're just situations that I need to get some help with. They become problems when I don't want help and I try to do them on my own. You know, so today I don't have many problems. The process of change for me started when I walked into my mother's house after spending that rent money. And my last enabler told me I could no longer stay there. But I had one last plan, you understand, because I've already called all the local places, they don't have any room. So I got to camp out at your house till you change your mind. She says, no. Call across the bridge. Take my car. Get out of here. You know, I'll walk to work if necessary. So I got there and they had open doors for me, man, but I had to stop and practice one more time before I got there. I don't know if that's part of y'all's story, but that was the resistance of change for me at that particular time. When I got here, I was dressed like I was going to a party with the slacks and the silk shirts and the ballet shoes, two pair of socks, you know. But when I got to that place, they welcomed me in. And when the door shut behind me, I knew it was locked.
Then somebody told me I could leave at any time.
But I had nowhere to go. And just at that instance, sitting at that door, when they started to take the intake information, and I was lying all the time.
I don't know how been the last time I used. You know, I'm just tired. You know, all that good stuff, you know.
I had no conception of honesty. Because I had lied for so long that being honest was wrong. And the life that I was practicing, there was no room for it. But since I've been here, I found that there's no room for deceit within my life today. And since I do have this precious contact with the God of my understanding, I now know that when my stomach flips, it's not necessarily because it was good or I got money burning a hole in my pocket. It's basically his message to tell me to do the right thing. You know, and as I reflect back on my youth, and it was the same message, just that I didn't heed to it. You know, I give him what's his, and I try not to give him what's not. You know, I know the evil forces move around me constantly and within me, but they can't do nothing to me or with me until I unlock that door of willingness and then lock it back again with my own self. You know, today I try to keep a little crack in that door called willingness. I try to stay one day at a time, one moment at a time out of my way, because I am the most powerful weapon against myself at times. See, today nobody can push me to do things that I don't want to do. And if I end up doing those things, it's because of how I was feeling about myself at that particular time. It had nothing to do with how you made it sound, how you presented it. It's all mine. If I find myself in a position that I don't want to be in, I can no longer point to you as if you made me do it. You know. Because see, that's what I did. I played the blame game for a long time. But through the process of step work and staying here one day at a time, I know that there is no blame in this game that does not belong to me if I'm a participant in it. I am no longer a victim. Today I'm the victor. Okay, with the help of God, my understanding. Just over my disease, which you guys help one at a time. But that can all change if my behaviors do not. I was recently talking to a gentleman in my network. I don't know about y'all, but my network has changed since I've been here. When I got here, I was so afraid to reach out that people had to kind of reach in. And God put a lot of powerful people in my life. And he also allowed me to get here long enough to see some people who I thought was worse off than me doing better than me. So then I knew something was working. Or they found an easier, softer way to do what I was doing or wanted to do. So I kind of followed them, but they would never take me to the strip of my choice. They took me to meetings, which became the strip of my choice. As I kind of like hung around those people, I come to find out that I had a real problem with me. My sponsor told me everything I run up against through the adversity of my life, just running through the steps. run it up and down the steps. Put its name in it. If it's the female, take it to step one and talk about how powerless you are over her. And them feelings that she give you. Go to the second step and understand that God can remove and put some sanity into that situation as soon as you get out of it. You know, and I don't mean far as jumping out of the way. You know, if I stop trying to fix it, it'll probably get fixed. You know, I've learned since I've been here that this life of mine is like a vacuum. When I work towards change today, it's not always a physical thing. I don't have to identify something and say, well, I got to make an effort to change that. Because see, basically what I'm doing is postponing the pain that's going to come as a result of me not changing it. Because what I'm going to do is come up with an idea on how to make it soft and easy, because that's how I live. They told me if I don't know how to change your behavior, just start practicing. Change will come with itself. If I want to be more tolerant, be less intolerant. If I want to get some patience, be less impatient. See, if I stop doing something, God has always placed something there, my God, to kind of take the place of the things that I no longer need. Or have a customer being around. You know, it's real difficult for me to change me. They say self-will can't change self-will. That's what I've learned since I've been here. You know, when I first got here, I had a little problem with admitting that I had a problem. Because see, my world was a microcosm of about 4 blocks. All my friends were in those 4 blocks. My family was in those 4 blocks. So there was no need to change those 4 blocks. Until those 4 blocks became 2 blocks. 1 block, my house, and I couldn't get outside. Then I was stuck in me, the ultimate prison. And there was no relief until I saw you guys. Thank God that God put something in my life enough to remove it, to make me open my eyes to see that the way I was living was not His way. And was conducive to me being on this earth very much longer. So once I got here, man, and got to the second step and looked around and saw some evidence as I'm looking around in this room, seeing the evidence of some restoration. See, I was born with sanity. I might not have always practiced it, but the restoration can take place if I sit still one day at a time, just as it has in life. But then I reached out to that third step, man, and it was a little difficult for me because I heard somebody say that piece about turning your life and you wheel over. To me, that meant that I had no more control. So that was a piece of change I wasn't trying to deal with. Because I like to run some things, thinking that I can drive every vehicle in every direction. If there's an emotion attached, I got it. If there's some pain attached, I got it. And usually what happened was I got it. But see, it told me as I start doing some steps, studying. Because see, I've done the steps before. And as I said before, I ran through them. And I ended up feeling the same way I did when I got to 12 as I did when I started at 1. So I saw some help from you people. And God placed some people in my life that were studying the steps. And during that process of studying the steps, I found out in the third step that it said at the beginning, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to that care. It didn't say that I had actually done it. So when I went back and got to the third step, basically I made a decision. But then it said that I had to move on. And that's when real work and the beauty of this program began. You know, I'm in the process of redoing that force. step. But I've continued my studying as my group does with the remainder of the 12 and the 12 traditions. The first time I did a fourth step, I didn't really do a third step. You know, I didn't make a decision. I just figured I'll say I gave it to God and then write some stuff down, hand somebody, tell them about it, talk about it, pray on it. I get to the eighth step, go tell my family I'm sorry, they'll love me, give me some roses, buy a new car, and move on. It didn't happen like that. We had a big snow a couple of years ago, and that lady that I told that all that good stuff to, she put me out. So I'm like, well, this step work ain't working. You know, I told her I was sorry. But I got on her nerves. And they told me, your name ain't on the lease, you homeless, Joe. So thus I found myself homeless in recovery. But God is real good, and it enabled me and my spouse and I to get back together. See, it's situations like that that faced me with the dilemma of change. Because I couldn't understand the part I played in it. And I couldn't understand how to get out of situations I found myself in. Till I started reading the literature and started sharing not only where I was at, but how I felt about where I was at with other human beings, such as yourselves. Because see, it's real easy for me to say, I've had a bad day. It's real easy for me to say, this person ticked me off, or this situation ain't going right, or I didn't get what I was supposed to get today. But it's real hard for me to say I feel messed up about all those things. And will you help me to get through it? See, when I got here, fear means face everything and run. Today it means face everything and recover. That's just for me. You know, when a situation knocks at my door, I used to open it up with fear and run through it. Today I don't even open it. I send faith to the door, let him open it. And it's usually nobody there. You know, for me, man, you know, change is inevitable. It's a must thing. If you have a problem with change, it's okay. Stay here long enough, it'll happen without your help. If you have a problem with change, and you've run up on some situations that you can no longer tolerate, just don't practice it. Change will come in on its own. If you have a problem with change, try going where they ain't got the change. Then you will really have a problem. If you're anything like me. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes. You know, for me, and I've been given the 5-minute morning. And it's good because I can just run it. Because I'm a talk a lot type of guy. Because see, when I was out there, I didn't have a whole lot to talk about. But since I've been in here, talk about what y'all done for me. Woo. We had to close in the usual manner, 2 days from now. That is such a blessing. It is such a blessing. For me, it's about not using. My sponsor told me that when I got here. He said, this program ain't about what you can get out of it. It's sometimes about what you can put into it and into your life. It's about giving up things. Those friends, those feelings, those actions, those behaviors, the things that you've engraved in your life for so long. If you give them up, God will replace them with some blessings and some better things. Today is not hard to change. It really isn't. It's hard to resist change. Because my God that I understand today does not want me to be the idiot I got here. He does not want me to be the good old crackhead and drunk. He does not want me to be the useless individual that no one can find on a daily basis. He does not want me to have children who can't use the bathroom because it's occupied for 2 days. He wants the utilities to stay on in my house. You know, he wants food and not magazine flies to be in my refrigerator. He wants change to occur in my life, not every day, but every moment. And it's changed for me to walk away from this podium, and I think I've done something. Because I really haven't. All I've done is talk about what has happened to me. Through God's help, you people. Because see, if you know anything about my recovery, when I got here, I was very violent, very afraid, very angry. Today I'm very clownish. I'm very happy. I still have some fears. Trust me. I just don't act out on it. See, today I'm no longer the doctor. I have not the remedy in my pocket. I open some literature. I get on the phone. If I need change, I need y'all. Thanks for letting me share.
Left if there's one or two people who'd like to come on up to the podium and share. I do have a few minutes. Okay, someone out there has my Just for Today reading. Someone please come up to the podium and read Just for Today. Excuse me, there is still a meeting going on.
Meeting going on.
Hello.
There's a meeting going on.
Still a meeting going on. Thank you.
Quick. Everybody, run. Let's go.
I'm a willing addict who gave away 5 years. He's got 8 days clean today.
All right.
And I'm Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Just for today, tell yourself. Just today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just today, I will have a program. I will try to follow the best of my ability. Just today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, nothing
to fear. Just for today. Yeah.
I'd like to close the meeting with a moment of silence, please. Let the silence remind us of those addicts still suffering in and out of these rooms and that we can't do this alone. Who's going to keep us clean today?
God.
Grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Just for today, keep coming back. It works if you live it.
We got a whole group of boys in here. Thank you for finally saying the change is not hard. Not changing is so hard.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully he puts on his field trip.
Where was he going?
Thank you.
take
for this meeting?
The last speaker.
The last. Whatever. It'll have both speakers on it.
Good.
Can someone hit stop on there for me?
Oh, it's there.
Yeah. And if I put your name.
Where?